It's good to be here this morning and to share with you. And I was talking to Paul earlier to say how pleased I was the other week to hear that you're having talks with NAILSI URC, a church that Margaret and I go to quite often because they book me, they put up with me quite a bit. So, and also my sister goes there, and we got many friends now in the church there. So it's really good to hear that you're in talks with a joint pastorate, and we pray that that will go ahead. I know they're excited about it, and I hope you are as well. No church has got no problems. And I'm sure I could ask you and you might tell me what problems Rington's got. But all churches have problems. But with love, prayer and hard work, these problems can be overcome. And it's good that you are in talks with NAILSI. Two weeks today, we will be celebrating Easter, when the most important event in history of the whole world happened. The death and resurrection of God's own Son. Simple as that. And as profound as that. Next week will be Palm Sunday, when you will be celebrating Jesus going into Jerusalem, where the crowds waved their branches and put their coats on the floor and welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem with shouts. And that same crowd, a few days later, shouting, "Crucify him." Two different events, all leading up to the death and resurrection of Jesus. One person, well, there were many people, but one person I want to talk about today who was there and witnessed both those events and also witnessed so much more was Peter, Simon Peter. Now, Simon Peter reminds me of one of those children in the class, and you see it on the television, and I'm sure if any of you have been into schools, where if the teacher asks for a volunteer to do something, their hand goes up straight away without knowing what they're volunteering for. If the teacher asks a question, their hand goes up and they give the answer to the question, whether it's right or wrong. Always there, always in the front, always trying. But sometimes not quite getting it right. And Simon Peter reminds me of that sort of person. Always there in the front, willing to do something, but not quite getting it right. But oh, what joy it is when that child does get it right. And I think this means that Peter so often got it wrong, but also so often got it right. So who was Peter? What do we know about him? Well, first of all, that he was a fisherman, that Jesus called him, and immediately, it says in the Bible, he left his nets and followed Jesus. Immediately. Do you see what I mean about that child who was putting his hand up, or her hand up in the air? Peter was there straight away. He didn't know that what it meant to follow Jesus, whether it was going to be an hour, whether it was going to be a day, or whether it was going to be the 3 years that he followed Jesus. But he was willing to immediately follow Jesus. He was something of a risk taker, wasn't he? Do you remember when Jesus was on the boat? And when Jesus was walking on the water out to the boat, and Peter was the only one of the disciples who had the courage enough to get out to the boat and try walking on the water. And what went wrong? He took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus. And we found out then that Peter, the fisherman, couldn't swim. Peter was the one that was always speaking up for the disciples. Do you remember at Caesarea Philippi, wasn't it, where Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they gave, some of the disciples gave the answer, "Some say you're Elijah, some say you're another prophet." And then Jesus turned the question onto the disciples. "Who do you say that I am?" Who gives the answer? It's Peter, isn't it? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter got it right. Peter was the one that realized who Jesus was. And then for confirmation to Peter and the other disciples, Jesus sometime later took three disciples, Peter, James and John, up the mountain for the transfiguration. And they heard the voice. We read just now in 1 Peter 2, that voice from God, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Confirmation. And that must have been such a boost to those three disciples, and especially to Peter. And instead of just thinking about it and wondering what it was, "What should we do, Lord? Should we build some tents for you all to sit in?" He had to be doing something. He had to take it that bit further. Peter was a doer. Not always doing the right thing at the right time, but he was a doer. He was also a bit of a hothead, wasn't he? Peter was the only one that tried to defend Jesus when he was arrested. It was Peter that pulled his sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. Peter, always wanting to do something, but not necessarily the right thing. Peter was somebody who was going to be a leader. Jesus had told him that his church would be built on Peter himself. Whether Peter realized what that meant, I know if somebody said that to me, I'd be running the opposite way. But Jesus said to Peter, "I will build my church on you." And it was, well, let's go back a bit to the Last Supper. There's a couple more incidents where Peter was involved. When Jesus washed the feet of his disciples to show that he was the servant king, one person objected. Wouldn't let Jesus do it. Peter. "No, Lord. You will not wash my feet." Jesus was showing the disciples in a very graphic way that he was the servant king. And here was Peter denying Jesus. And then Jesus said, no, I must wash your feet. Jesus, being the servant king. And then later on, as the meal went on, Jesus said to Peter, you are going to deny me 3 times. Before morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. And of course, that came to being. Peter denied Jesus those 3 times after Jesus was arrested. At his lowest point, Peter denied Jesus. Somehow that incident helps me. Because I let Jesus down in different ways. And Jesus is there to forgive me. But Jesus knows before I even let him down that I'm going to let him down. And yet he still forgives me and loves me. And that is why I think Jesus wanted to build his church on Peter. Peter had learned so much during Jesus' lifetime. And when the Holy Spirit came, who was it that went out into the marketplace and spoke up for all the disciples? It was Peter. And if you read what Peter says on the day of Pentecost, it's no wonder that 3,000 people were added to their number. When Peter was arrested and brought up before the Sanhedrin with other apostles, it was Peter that spoke in the defense. And that... That chap, what was his name, Gamaliel, said, forget about what they're saying. If it's of human words, then it will fizzle out. If it is of God, what Peter is saying, then nothing can stop it. And that's it, isn't it, folks? We have an unstoppable gospel. So what can we learn from Peter? Well, first of all, his willingness to do things for God. His willingness to immediately do what is wanted. In churches nowadays, if there's a job to be done, you have to find out if there's the finance to do it. You have to have a health and safety check, a risk assessment. You have to have a committee to see how it's to be done. Possibly you've got to get permission from either the diocese or synod or the church council. Somehow, we have lost the spontaneity of doing work for Jesus. We have to be open. We have to be attentive to what the needs are of people around us and be able to respond a lot quicker than we do. Peter was willing to speak up and was willing to make mistakes. He was willing to take on the responsibility of leading the young church. He was willing to break down barriers. The young church was spreading out around the world, but there was one barrier: to accept the salvation of Jesus, you had first of all to obey the law of Moses. And Peter saw that this was a barrier. And he had this vision, didn't he, of this food coming down from heaven. And I think I used the phrase here for the first time, that the food came down from heaven, both clean and unclean food. And the voice said, "Peter, get up and eat." And he said, "I can't, because some of the food is unclean." And then the voice said, "Nothing I have created, no food that I've created is unclean." And suddenly, bacon butties were back on the menu. It changed the whole world's thinking about becoming a Christian. It broke down barriers that had been put up. And my challenge to you today in this church: what barriers are there into people coming into the knowledge and love of our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you got any barriers? I pray that you haven't. What barriers are there in my life that stop people coming to the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ? It's worth thinking about, folks, because sometimes it means we got to change. Sometimes we got to give up things. A couple of years ago, Margaret and I were finding that church was very difficult. We were getting so bogged down with the finance, the politics, the health and safety of church, that we took a decision that we would leave the church. I would still go out preaching, we'd still go to different churches on the Sunday, but we would be able then, we would be freed up to respond to people around us, to address some of their needs, to befriend people who, during lockdown, were so getting so depressed that we were worried about them. And all the time the church was saying, "Oh, but we can't meet. We can't meet. We've got, is it more than 6 people?" We used to have coffee mornings behind the Lido at Portishead in the open air, 6 of us at a time, all weathers. We've encouraged people to go to church. We've even taken people to church. And if they want to get involved in the politics and the finance. But what barriers are there? It's very difficult to bring strangers into a church. I thank those on the eldership of this church that you're keeping going, that you take the responsibility of making decisions away from the general congregation. Thank you for that. But please, folks, don't get bogged down with the politics of the church, but stretch out and bring the gospel message to the people around you. Peter was willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that all of you are willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't put on you more than you can stand. I ask as well that you have the enthusiasm of spreading the gospel message as Peter had. He wanted the whole world to know that Jesus Christ was his Lord and his Savior, that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. Because one day, folks, all of us will stand before Jesus. All of us will be asked, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And I pray that all of us will be able to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.